Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christ Church. Glad that you're with us this morning. Will you stand with us? I'm going to start off singing Rock of Ages, You Will Stand.
On Christ, a solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Great is your faithfulness, great is your love, oh God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Great is your faithfulness, great is your love, oh God.
Oh, let's sing together.
Rock of Ages, will stand our foundation till the end, never failing, God unchanging, Rock of Ages, You will stand.
Oh, we're gonna sing when darkness to hide your face.
When darkness seems to hide your face, I rest on your unchanging grace. Great is your faithfulness, great is your love, oh God. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Great is your faithfulness, great is your love, oh God. Oh God, Rock of Ages, You will stand our foundation till the end, never fail. Stand our foundation till the end, never failing, God unchanging, Rock of Ages, You will stand.
Fear may fill the world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. And we're going to say a scripture together. In Isaiah 26, verse 4, the Bible says this. And say it along with me. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Right? Let's say it one more time together. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. If you feel fear welling up over you, there's a quick little sentence to keep in your brain and rehearse it. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. You can be seated. We've got a friend with us this morning, Jim from California. We can give him a big Christchurch welcome. This song is called Solid as the Rock.
I'm glad that your foundation is firm and secure in Christ alone. You are solid rock today, amen.
Oh, in this restless world made of shifting sand, there's no solid ground where our hope can stand. But our trust in God will stand strong and sure, for it's built on a foundation that's secure. The Son of God is our cornerstone. Jesus is His name, heaven is His throne. We will not be swayed, we will not be moved, and the ones who rest upon Him will stand strong and true. Can it made it solid, solid, solid as a rock of ages. Solid, solid, solid as a rock. They test our faith, we grow firm and strong. We're victorious through the blood of love. We will sing of our salvation as He lifts us up. Our faith is made us solid, solid, solid as a rock.
Church, it is so good to see you all. Welcome. Welcome to all everybody out in the parking lot listening. We can't wait for you to be back in here. Welcome to our live stream viewers and our Facebook viewers. It's great to have you with us this morning, and we can't wait to see your faces as well. So, church feels a little different right now, right? Agreed? Are you ready for the days where we can fill this place again and Main Street's full again, right? I am. I totally am. But I was reminded this week by a really smart woman that we are the church, right? Outside of Sunday morning, outside this room, outside of Main Street, outside of the worship music, outside of morning prayer groups, outside of your life groups, each and every hour of each and every day, we are the church. And I believe that God has a message he wants to get across this week for a world that needs peace. And so I want to challenge myself and challenge you this week to be the church. When you leave here, be the church. Share this message of peace. And one way you can do that, if you're listening online or you're here in your seats, pull out your phone and share this message on your Facebook app. Who knows what God might do in somebody's heart this week? Be the church this week. I want to remind you there's three ways to give. One, you can give as you're exiting the doors in our giving boxes. You can give on our app, and you can also give at ChristChurchOhio.org. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I've overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. Yet those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of a cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed.
Yeah.
Only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to the right to my knee. Yeah, yeah. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more.
Yeah.
And to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of a cross. And every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. He's my source of strength and my source of hope. He's my source of strength and my source of hope.
That is absolutely true. If our hope is not in Christ, we are hopeless. If our strength is not in Christ, we are weak. We are believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Before all other things, Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Did Jovan kill it the last 2 weeks? Huh? I watched on the internet. I watched, and Jovan made me want to seek more contentment from Christ. How about you? Didn't you really want to look for richer contentment in Christ? I think that guy's got a future in his church, don't you? Oh God, in knowing you, grace and peace multiply within us. We become multipliers of grace and peace in the world because we know you. And I pray that your Spirit would teach that to us in a usable way this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Representative John Lewis died this week after 40 years of serving in the House of Representatives for the state of Georgia. Lewis is interesting to me because when he was just in his early 20s, he joined with 12 other young people in their 20s. Seven white, six blacks. And they had a single goal. We're going to get on a public bus in Washington, D.C., and we're going to take buses all the way to New Orleans. That doesn't seem like such a difficult thing to do, does it? Except when they got to Rock Hill, South Carolina, and got off the bus, there were angry people there. And they started screaming and yelling at them, throwing things at them. The police showed up, arrested them, took them to the Tennessee state border, and dropped them off. They made their way to Nashville. In Nashville, another riot broke out. Somebody hit John Lewis over the head with something and knocked him out cold. No ambulance showed up. Nobody got arrested. They drug his unconscious body into the bus station and left him. It was so ugly that the people who sponsored the Freedom Ride said, "We got to call this off." Lewis said, "You're not calling anything off." And the ride continued. And the brutality of the story is unimaginable. Simply because 13 people, black and white, decided to ride together on a bus. It's easy for us to point our finger at them and say, "Weren't they terrible?" I want to think of something else. I want to look at John. John was beaten severely, knocked out cold twice. But you know what? The only weapon he fought back with was peace. Because John learned from Dr. King, peace is stronger than violence. When they screamed and yelled at him, he treated them better than what they deserved. And in the end, John and the Freedom Riders won. You can ride anywhere in America today, so far as I know, with anybody you want on a bus, and nobody's going to attack you. Because there is great power in grace and peace. We don't lose our peace because of what's happening around us. We want to blame that on us. We want to blame losing our peace on, well, it wasn't my fault, it was those people. It wasn't my fault, it was this situation. But in fact, we lose our peace on the inside before we lose it on the outside. Church. And so Peter, in his second letter, says this: may grace and peace be multiplied. May they be continually increasing to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. I've talked to this church many times about grace. Grace is not a new topic. We believe grace means treating people better than what they deserve. Now, I want to ask you the grace question. Are you treating people around you better than what they deserve right now? Let's be specific. You see, I find it's easy to treat people who like me and I like them. I think I find it easy to be gracious to them. Right? I took ice cream to my two granddaughters. Hey, I had it. It was easy. I was totally at peace. I didn't even feel grace and peace to be challenged within me. I'm not asking you, are you treating people you like better than they deserve? I'm not even asking, are you treating people you agree with better than they deserve? That's easy to do. The people I agree with are so smart. They're so intelligent. They see the world so correctly. It's easy to be gracious to them. I want to ask you this. Can you treat people better than what they deserve when you're angry? Are you finding from Christ a freshness of grace that allows you to treat people better than what they deserve when all you want to do is swear at them? Are you treating people better than what they deserve when they strongly disagree with you? Look, this whole COVID thing has America torn in half. There are some people who are on one side of the issue and some people are on the other side of the issue. And somehow or another, we think it's all right because we strongly disagree and we strongly believe in our side of the argument that it's all right not to be gracious to people. Where does that come from? Church? People don't have to agree with you. And besides, when did you become Amy Acton and totally understand the disease? I'm not sure Amy does. But I got people who will just jump down my throat on both sides of the issues. You're killing people! I can't believe Church, can you be gracious to someone who strongly disagrees with you? I hate to see the election year come around. I just hate to see it. I hate to see for what it does to our church. Some of you are more Democratic and more Republican and more libertarian than you are Christian. You'd rather Christ be humiliated and your candidate win. You would rather spend hours on your Facebook ripping people to pieces with your public opinion than you would to spend 15 minutes being gracious and kind and loving and good. Church, can you hear me? Here's my opinion. Vote for whoever you want to vote for. God bless you. But that doesn't mean you don't have to be gracious to people who like a different candidate. It doesn't mean that because they have a different political view than you do, that you don't have to be a Christian. And you can all of a sudden become a pundit on 24-hour news. Can you hear me, church? Can you be gracious when you strongly disagree? Or are you only gracious when people agree with you? Here's a hard one. Can you treat people better than what they deserve when you don't like them? Now, I know there's some people here who are really holy people and you like everybody and little hearts roll off you all the time and rainbows are over your head and My Little Pony runs around you. And okay, but most of us aren't that good and there are people that annoy us. Okay, I know I annoy people. I get emails. I'm not self-deceived. After you said I'm an idiot for the third time, I kind of get that you don't like me. All right, can I treat somebody better than what they deserve if I don't like them? Or if I don't like them, does that give me carte blanche to treat them any way I want? How about this? Can you treat somebody better than what they deserve if you lose face? If your pride gets chipped a little bit? See, what I'm saying is, in myself, by myself, I can't. Because grace is a spendable commodity, and the little bit of grace I'm able to muster within myself, I burn through it really, really, really quickly. I have to have a grace that is being multiplied in me from somewhere else. I have to have a source of grace that is greater than my own limited human capacity. And so Peter says, here it is. Let grace and peace be multiplied in you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't generate the grace I need by myself. I have to get it from somewhere else. This verb is passive. Let it be multiplied. That means you're not acting, you're not doing it, it's happening to you. Can you see that the grace of Christ expresses itself to us in very rich and meaningful ways? How many things has Christ forgiven you for? By the grace of forgiveness, He's been kind to you. Church, I don't know about you, but I lost track a long, long time ago. You say, Doc, what about the people who just keep doing the same thing over and over? Do I have to be gracious to them? Okay, let me tell you what Jesus said. Peter talked to Jesus one day and said, this guy is annoying me. How many times do I have to forgive him? Is 7 enough? You know where this is going, don't you? Jesus said, 7, dude. You're not even in a ballpark. You don't get started until you forgive 70 times 7. okay, let's be real. I'm not going to make it to 100 by myself. Are you? 100 times? That is a lot of annoyance. But Jesus said that in him there is a grace of forgiveness that only gets started at 490 times. That's where he's just getting started. What is the point? The point is the grace of Jesus Christ never runs out. It is unlimited. It is refreshed again and again and again and again. My grace burns out quickly. His grace is abundant. The Apostle Paul said, look how it works. Where sin increased, grace did super increase. Do you hear what he was saying? No matter how bad you got or how ugly you became, his grace just kept getting richer and richer and richer. You can't burn out the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why he is the source for you and I to be gracious. Because his grace is always increased and increased and increased. And if he is my source, then my capacity to be gracious increases. Let's talk about the peace test. Can you share calm, freedom from anxiety and oppressive thoughts and feelings? Can you share that? Can you share it with people you like? Well, yeah, that's easy. Yesterday, Sharon and I went out for lunch at her favorite restaurant. We were sitting there. We eat with the old people. You know that time of day when only you go in the restaurant and only old people are there? I know some of you young people aren't ever there at that time. There wasn't hardly anybody there. I was perfectly at peace. Perfectly at peace. And when the lemon cake came, I thought, manna from heaven. It's easy to share peace with people you like and you enjoy their company. It's easy to be at peace with people you agree with. Now, I want to ask you the hard question again. Do you share peace when you're angry? Be angry and sin not. Is there any way you can tap into the peace of Christ when you are angry and instead of sharing anger and resentment, insult, and snideness, you can share calm? Because you're tapping in to a peace that is greater than what you can produce yourself, and you're sharing it in a way that's very unusual. Can you be at peace with people you strongly disagree with? See? This is where Christianity starts distinguishing itself or losing itself. You got me? Can you be at peace with people you strongly disagree with? If I could live my life over, one of the major things I would do is I would share peace more and argue less. It's more influential. Can you hear me? Peace is more influential than any argument you can make. Who do you want to be around? Somebody who always argues until you give up, or somebody who has a peaceful, kind, gentle, caring disposition? Who do you want to be around? Who do you want to be around? The person who says, I don't agree with you, but I like you, and I'm willing to put up with your stupid opinion. Or the person who says, you're an idiot. I can't believe you believe that. What's wrong with you? And then starts quoting the Encyclopedia Britannica to you to prove they're right. Church, what has more influence with you? I am more influenced by the peaceful spirit of somebody than I am by any argument they'll ever make. Church, can you be at peace with somebody you strongly disagree with? Can you be at peace with somebody you don't like? Can you be at peace if you lose face and your pride gets chipped? Church? All right, by myself, I can't. I'm just going to admit it. I can think of 10 sarcastic things to say faster than I can bat an eye. I don't even have to try. They come to me. It's a gift. Some of you know that gift. You've had to bite it back yourself, haven't you? The source of grace and peace is not my own ability. It is my Lord Jesus Christ. In the very same way that he has unlimited grace, he has unlimited peace. The Bible never tells you, muster up your own peace. The very first sermon in the sermon series, Jesus said, my peace I release to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and don't be timid. Jesus says at the very beginning, I'm not asking you to do this by yourself. I'm asking you to have a connection to me so that my unlimited grace and peace touch you. Several weeks ago, we studied the passage, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Where does the filling of peace come from? It comes from the God of hope. I'm not gritting my teeth to be gracious. I'm not white knuckling to be peaceful. I am saying to Christ, I don't have it, but you do. Church. Grace and peace are spendable, and we have to have a source that we can draw on again, again, and again. Grace and peace, may they be increased in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now I want to give the how of this. Do you want more grace and peace? I do. I honestly do. Now, how do I do it? It's one thing to have the idea that I agree with. It's another way of somebody telling me, how do I do it? All right, I want to give you three ideas on both of them. Number one, how does the knowledge of God increase grace in me? Here it is. I come to experience God as gracious and not vindictive, and I trust him more. All right, let's be honest. When we need grace, we commonly run in the wrong direction. We run away from God. Why? Because we're afraid. Somewhere along the line, somebody told you God was pretty ticked off, and if you messed up bad, he was going to punch you in the mouth. Am I right? Did you learn that at church somewhere? Your mom ever say to you, God is watching you, mister? Listen. When I know God to be gracious and not vindictive, I turn to him for grace more quickly because I trust him. If I think God is going to trash me, he's going to humiliate me, he's going to embarrass me, he's going to punish me, I'm not going to trust him for grace. I'm going to hide. Adam and Eve, hiding in the garden. But the more I know the gracious character of God, the more I trust him. And the more I trust him, the more quickly I turn to him, and the more grace I get. Grace is increased because I know he's gracious and I'm trusting him more quickly. Do you see it? When you need grace, turn quickly to Christ. You can trust him. Two, I recognize the benefits of God's grace in my daily life and I seek it more. The better I know God, the more I begin to recognize the benefits of his grace in my life. Can you see the benefits of God's grace in your life, church? I can. I see again in my life how God has treated me better than what I deserve. Just standing up here and talking to you today is an act of grace. I don't deserve to be the pastor of this church. If I was God, I'd have fired me a long time ago. But he's gracious to me. He says, church, I'm working on that guy. Give me a little more time. I'll make him a better man. Hear it? I recognize the benefits of his grace. His grace has made me better. Not his scolding, not his threats, not the ugliness of a church dogma. Those didn't make me better. The grace of God made me better. I'm a better man because he shows up in my life and says, son, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to bless you anyway. And the more I recognize the benefits of his grace, the quicker I seek it. I say my life works better when the grace of God is abounding in me. I'm going to look for it more. And grace increases. Three, I grow to respect God's grace, and because I respect it, I try to be more gracious like him. See, I end up trying to do the things I respect. Get it? So I start looking at God and saying, how incredible he is that he treats me this way. I respect that. And then I say, I want to be like that. Because I respect his gracious character, something in me says, you ought to be more like that. You ought to be more like that. And grace increases. Grace increases when I experience the grace of God, and so I trust him more. Grace increases when I see the benefits of his grace. I start looking at my life and saying, this grace is a pretty good deal. And I seek it more from him. Grace increases when I say, one of the things I respect most about Christ is his grace. It is a respectable quality of life, and I want to be more like that. And grace increases. Do you hear it, church? Let's talk about peace. How does the knowledge of God increase peace? First of all, I admit that my peace is fragile, but God's peace is strong, so I turn to him first with my anxious thoughts. Do you believe your peace is fragile? I was on vacation. I wasn't in a hurry to go anywhere. But I had one of these idiots who wants to get in the left-hand lane, go ahead of everybody, and cut in. Makes me wish I had a snowplow in front of my truck. I wasn't in a hurry. I had nowhere to be. I had no schedule at all. Except my glass-thin piece got broken because Billy Baru came roaring up beside me and wanted to cut in. That's my fragile piece. Like I'm a NASCAR guy. Church, I hope your peace is not as fragile as mine. People who are watching on the internet, I lose my peace messing with my stupid computer. Have you ever swore at your computer? Not saying I have, but probably on more than one occasion. It's a computer. And I can lose my peace because the stupid thing won't do what it's supposed to do. It's not me. I don't care what you say. My peace is fragile. God's peace is strong. I'm not going to trust my fragile peace. My first anxious thought, I'm not going to rely on my own peace. I'm going to take that first anxious thought and say to God, I need your peace because I know where this goes if I don't find peace in you. And peace increases. Two, I distinguish the situational peace of culture from the consistent peace of Christ. And then I start framing my thinking on the noble qualities of the Holy Spirit. Remember we studied a couple weeks ago, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is death. Let me talk about this a little bit. The culture around us can produce situational peace. The culture around us can produce a situational peace. When you're in this situation, people are at peace. But it's fragile and it doesn't last long. Right? Situational peace is fragile. And it only lasts as long as that magic situation lingers. But when that situation is gone, the peace is gone. Christ's peace isn't based upon the situation and the circumstances. It's based on his character. And so it's consistent. All right. Peace increases. When I start to feel the loss of peace, I say, I'm looking for a peace that comes when I set my mind on you. And I'm asking for the grace right now to set my mind on you and for peace to be increased in me. Peace that's not based on this situation. Because if it's based on this situation, this is going up in flames real quick. But if it's based on the influence of your Holy Spirit in me, peace is able to increase and increase. And no matter what happens in the situation, I can be a man of peace. Three, I didn't word this one very well, so I'll have to explain it. Empowered by the peace of Christ, I increase in partnering with him, in sharing tranquility, freedom from anxiety, oppressive thoughts in this roller coaster world. Let me say this in an easier way. I'm sorry I worded that so poorly. All right. Peace increases because I begin to see the power of the peace of Christ in my own life. I start recognizing the peace of Christ makes me stronger than yelling at people. The peace of Christ makes me stronger than being angry with people. The peace of Christ makes me stronger than barking at people. Right? And because I start seeing that peace makes me strong, I turn more quickly to seek his peace because it empowers me to share peace. And now peace isn't just something that's on the inside of me. Peace is something that I'm creating around me. I increase peace by the peace of Christ flowing through me. All right, what does that look like? Because I'm at peace, I share peace in my home. Today, everyone has two powers. You can go home and blow the place up. You can raise anxiety. People can be edgy. People can be yelling at each other. Or you can go home and share peace. You can go home and have a calm that you give to other people around you. You can go home and make everyone anxious, just raise the anxiety, or you can go home and say, I got the peace of Christ in me right now, and I'm sharing calm. I'm sharing peace. You get it? Peace increases because I feel empowered by peace, and then I start creating an environment of peace. You don't go to work tomorrow and raise the tension. You go to work tomorrow and lower the tension because the peace of Christ is increasing in you. You don't increase the tension with your friends. You lower the tension with your friends because the peace of Christ is in you. All right. Now, please let me apply this. Most of you know that Christianity's influence in America is waning. Christianity used to have more influence than it has now. Things like what the Bible says about morality used to have the cultural norms. Well, they're not anymore. Things that the Bible said about how to treat people, that used to be the cultural norm. Well, it isn't anymore. If the church is going to be influential, we have to distinguish ourselves from everything around us in two ways. We are people of grace and peace. Do you get this? If people come into this place and we treat them better than what they deserve, they're going to say, there's something to the reality of God. I feel it there. If people come here and we don't have grace, and we have to give them a hard time. We have to run them through the ringer. We have to send them through the Christian checklist. They're going to look at us and say, that's no different than everywhere else. Can you hear me, church? If people come here and we are sharing the peace of Christ, and they come in here from a week of ugliness and meanness and insult, and they get here, and the peace of Christ, they feel relaxed in their inner self. Now the church has influence. Can you hear me? Jake said to us before the service, we are the church wherever we go. People come to your house and it's full of tension all the time. You're not going to be an influential Christian. I don't care if you can quote the whole Gospel of John. I don't care if you can quote the whole New Testament. You will not be influential if you can't share peace in your home. I don't care if you're a missionary and you go to the most ugly place in the world and you catch a disease that's twice as bad as COVID. If you can't be gracious, you're not going to be influential. We live in a world that can't muster grace and peace. The human soul can't do it. But we desperately need them both. We desperately need to be treated better than what we deserve and to have calm and freedom from anxiety and oppressive thoughts. We desperately need that. And the church is God's source for that in the world. And the more grace and peace we share, the more influence we're going to have in the world and the more powerful the truth of the gospel is going to be. And so I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, to draw upon a grace and peace that is always increasing through your personal relationship and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It makes all the difference in the world. Our dear Heavenly Father, I'm tired of being graceless and without peace. I'm tired of responding without grace. I'm tired of responding without peace. So I pray for myself today, and I pray for everyone who's here this morning. I ask you a simple request. Would you cause grace and peace to be increased in our souls? And then as it is increased in our souls, could we be people who share greater grace and peace with others? Could grace go up in the world because we are gracious? Could peace go up in the world because we are peaceful? And then I pray that it would make it possible for us to point people to the source of grace and peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
I have come from so far away down the road of my own mistakes in the hope you could hear me pray. Oh Lord, keep me how I long through these wasted years to outrun all my pain and fear, turned to stone from my uncried tears, and now it's your grace I see. Love won't compromise. It's a gift. It's a sacrifice. My soul renewed and my heart whom the angels sing, know my joy, feel my suffering. Shining star, make this love that you bring so bright that I may till I reach that river cross, my soul renewed and my spirit free. In you I find my peace. Only in you do I find my peace.
Was it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Receive a blessing. Now may the love of God the Father, the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.
I'm standing on the solid, solid.